Does it seem bizarre to hear that Jesus Christ will soon return a second time to receive his church unto himself in the clouds, an event commonly called the rapture? 1 Thessalonians 4:14 through 17. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Does it seem bizarre to you that shortly after the rapture, Jesus Christ returns to the earth to end the dreaded battle of Armageddon? At this time, the world's armies, the armies of the Antichrist, are moving in to annihilate the Jewish people, the remnant of the seed of Abraham. Here, Jesus Christ splits the sky as he returns with his saints to settle God's controversy. Whose word is true? In this prelude, the body of Jesus Christ is the issue. If Satan and his champions, including the high priest and his entourage, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Romans, and the rank and file of the world's critics could find the body of Jesus Christ, the Christian confession of the resurrection and ascension would be lost. But alas, Mr. Devil and company see only the empty tomb. I am reminded after the death of Moses, who was a shadow of Jesus Christ, the devil disputed with the archangel Michael over the body of Moses, Jude chapter 1, verse 9. They couldn't find the body. Consider Matthew 27, 62 through 26. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, and setting a watch. After 3 days, Jesus Christ arose and left his borrowed tomb empty. 40 days after his resurrection, this risen Christ ascends into heaven, and Acts 1, 9 through 11 reports a cloud receives him, and he now sits on the right hand of God. Sounds bizarre, but today's science can shoot a man into outer space and receive that man again alive. What do you think God's infinite intellect can do? When the King of Glory returns to settle the score at Armageddon, Revelation 6, 14 through 17 tells us that heaven will roll back like a scroll. Sound just too bizarre? Note that today's science theorizes that you can tear space. All of a sudden, the Bible's fantastical claims are no longer so bizarre. Remember, they couldn't find a body. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again? John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is nothing in the universe as marvelous and fantastic as born again, and in just a moment, I will offer you a prompt so that you can join in the marvel. If you follow from your heart, you will participate in the greatest miracle man can know. Today you will meet the living Christ. Today all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be brand new and clean. Today all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, every single one. You will be free. Sound just too bizarre to believe? Well, it's true. Here is the simple prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 6:17, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Genesis 7:17-24. "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the heaven. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him, and the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. God said, Genesis 6:8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Man said, as one of their own, evolutionist Richard Lewontin explains, "It is not that the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our a priori adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations, no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated. Moreover, that materialism is absolute, so we cannot allow a divine foot in the door." End of quote. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1248, that will once again certify the bona fides of God's beautiful book. All of these word-centric features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and for you to use as soul-winning information. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. You have arrived at the God Said, Man Said Genesis series. This is part 28. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of a demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end of quote. I recently reviewed an advertisement from a magazine called Free Inquiry that also has a problem with the God of creation and the first book of the Bible called Genesis. Under the heading, "Is God Big Enough for the Universe?" Free Inquiry writes, "The authors of Genesis proclaim that God made the heavens and the earth in less than a week. This feat must have amazed these Bronze Age authors, even though they thought the heavens extended only so far as the sky above them. Of course, they did not know what stars, planets, or galaxies were. We now know that the universe is so much bigger and so much more complex," end of quote. The born again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? I suppose they did. But God's revelation is only revealed to the humbled hearts of the children of faith. This God Said, Man Said series will be called the Genesis series. It is our intention to travel through the entire book of Genesis and publish one major God-inspired truth after another. We will be pulling from previous God Said, Man Said features and adding the latest information as we go. This Genesis series demonstrates the blindness rampant in the camp of unbelief. The obvious should rise up and hit them in the face, but somehow the truth escapes them. Jesus said, "Few be that find it." They are spiritually blind, yet they are convinced and confident that they can see. The only remedy is the miracle of born again. Is it just Sunday school foolishness, or was there a real and literal Noah and his ark? Was the world and all the creatures that had the breath of life in their nostrils destroyed by a global flood, with the only exception being the inhabitants of the ark? Did the world's entire human population, which could have been as large as ours today, perish in the flood? Of course, the answer to these questions is yes, and exactly as the Word of God describes. If such an event occurred, then there should be proof everywhere, right? And there is. From the depths of the oceans to the peaks of the world's mountains, the proof is everywhere. The earth has opened her mouth to swallow up Satan's lies. Revelation 12, 1 through 17. One way she has opened her mouth to swallow Satan's deceptions is so evident in the world's trillions of fossils. The vast, vast majority of these fossils were created as a result of water action, in other words, the flood. Dr. Andrew Snelling, a geologist of serious stature, wrote in his book, The Genesis Flood Revisited, "There can be no doubt, therefore, that in spite of the complexity of the physical agencies involved, the flood event provides an adequate explanation for the formation of the sedimentary strata and the geological record attributed to it. Furthermore, it would have been the catastrophic deposition of sediments that was the necessary condition for the rapid burial and fossilization of many animals and plants that had been living in the pre-flood world. The creatures of the ocean floors would have been universally overwhelmed by the toxicity and violence of the volcanic eruptions as the ocean floor was lifted and the spreading centers formed, and by the heat and bottom currents thereby generated. These upheavals would have dislodged and scoured the veneer of mixed organic and inorganic ocean floor sediments and transported them along with the overwhelmed sea creatures, the mixture eventually to be redeposited either elsewhere in the ocean floor or ultimately on the pre-flood land surfaces as they were progressively inundated by the rising sea level surging shoreward. In similar fashion, the fish and other organisms living within the ocean nearer the surface would subsequently have been swept away with sediments washing up onto the land surface as it progressively became the bottom of a global ocean. These sediments and animal remains they carried would have been transported and deposited on top of other sediments already being laid down. On the remaining land surfaces, the raging torrents of grossly flooded rivers would have carried great quantities of detritus toward the encroaching seas, occasionally consuming animals together with great rafts of vegetation. This would normally have been deposited on top of sediment layers in some more or less quiescent part of these streams, or have finally been laid down in the encroaching sea on top of sediment layers and their contained organic remains already laid down by the strong sediment-laden ocean water surges progressively inundating the land. There can thus be no doubt that under such conditions during the flood, as the torrential rains fell and the ocean waters surged to inundate the land surfaces, burial and fossilization of myriads of animals and plants en masse was guaranteed. Whereas burial and fossilization of even a single animal or plant is an exceedingly rare happenstance, the abundance of fossils preserved in the geological record, often in massive numbers, and what have aptly been called fossil graveyards, is unmistakable, powerful testimony to the destructive effects of the water cataclysm described in the scriptures, end of quote. Keep in mind sedimentary rock as a result of water action. Dr. Snelling continues. The following description of global tectonics, sedimentation, and fossilization processes catastrophically operating during the flood must, of course, be subject to testing by comparison with the field data of the geological record, with a view to establishing the general adequacy of the scriptural framework for organizing and harmonizing the geologic data. Obviously, a very substantial portion of the Earth's crust geology must be explained in terms of the flood if the biblical record is true. For example, the most obvious implication of the biblical account is that a very large proportion of the Earth's fossil deposits must be associated with catastrophic aqueous action, especially or with volcanism. The vast extent of the sedimentary strata is indicated as follows. About 3/4, perhaps more, of the land area of the Earth, 55 million square miles, has sedimentary rock as the bedrock at the surface or directly under the cover of mantle rock. The thickness of the stratified rocks range from a few feet to 40,000 feet or more at any one place. This is exactly what would be expected if the waters of a universal flood had covered the Earth. Similarly, recent volcanic deposits are widely distributed across the Earth's surface, which is again just as the biblical account would imply. End of quote. Fossil graveyards are found all over the Earth. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Noah and the Divine Foot. There are hundreds and hundreds of pages on God Said, Man Said addressing Noah and the devastating global flood. The information is truly Holy Ghost breathtaking. The following bullet points are just a sampling. Marine fossils have been found at the peaks and near the summits of all the world's mountains. 3/4 of the Earth's crust consists of sedimentary rocks, which are formed entirely underwater. The Midwestern part of the United States, including Wisconsin and Texas, are famous in part for the colossal sand mines laid down by ocean waters. The Chinese account their origins as beginning with a catastrophic flood and the actions of their Noah-like savior. Consider these four headlines of an event that experts claimed happened about 4,000 years ago. This feature is being written in 2025 A.D., pegging Noah and his ark to approximately 4,373 years ago. Headline, August 4, 2016, New York Times. Scientific evidence of flood may give credence to legend of China's first dynasty. Headline, August 5, 2016, UK Telegraph. First evidence of legendary China flood may rewrite history. August 4, 2016, Washington Post. Legends say China began in a great flood. Scientists just found evidence that the flood was real. August 4, 2016, ScienceMag.org. Massive flood may have led to China's earliest empire. How about this? 80 whale skeletons have been unearthed in the Peruvian desert. The famous Hell Creek Formation, covering areas in 3 U.S. states, is festooned with a strange grouping of fossilized creatures, dinosaurs, sawtooth tigers, seagoing creatures of many stripes, and all were destroyed by a devastating flood. New excavations in Bowman, North Dakota, USA, a landlocked state, are full of various seagoing creatures entangled with trees, flowers, various land-dwelling creatures, including dinosaurs. What's most remarkable is that all these creatures were transported together by a flood. It's a long trip from the ocean to North Dakota. In his book, Dragons of the Deep, Carl Whelan writes the following concerning the Shoshone Mountain reptile, a sea monster known as Shonisaurus. The location in which Shonisaurus fossils came to light is interesting, too. The Shoshone Mountains of Nevada are in the middle of the desert, yet 36 Shonisaurus fossils were found together there at an altitude of over 7,000 feet. End of quote. Sea monsters in Nevada? The magazine The Week ran the following headline in their May 2022 issue, The Sea Reptile That Could Eat a Giant Squid. The feature speaks of a tooth of this sea-going giant, Ichthyosaur, which was found in the Swiss Alps. The marine fossil crinoid, a sea lily, was found embedded in limestone on top of Mount Everest. Robert Ballard, famous by the discovery of the Titanic, was being interviewed by ABC News and Christine Amanpour. Ballard says, "We went in the Black Sea region to look for the flood," Ballard continued. "Not just a slow-moving, advancing rise of sea level, but a really big flood that then stayed. The land that went under stayed under. 400 feet below the surface, they unearthed an ancient shoreline, proof to Ballard that a catastrophic event did happen in the Black Sea. By carbon-dating shells found along the shoreline, Ballard said that he believes they have established a timeline for the catastrophic event, which he estimates happened about 5,000 B.C. Some experts believe this was around the time when Noah's flood could have occurred. The earlier Mesopotamian stories are very similar, where the gods are sending a flood to wipe out humans, said biblical archaeologist Eric Klein. There's one man they chose to survive. He builds a boat, brings on animals, lands on a mountain, and lives happily ever after. I would argue that it's the same story," end quote. Over 500 ancient societal records speak of a Noah-like event. The following paragraphs are from ICR's publication Acts and Facts, the May-June 2022 issue. The ICR Column Project team, led by geologist Dr. Tim Clary, has mapped out the rock record of the global flood across the world's continents using extensive data from petroleum industry wells, rock outcrops, seismic data, and published cross-sections. ICR scientists have input detailed sedimentary rock data along with megasequence boundaries across every region, including the continental shelf. These data confirm the reality of a global geologic column created by the action of the global flood. This monumental and unprecedented project has shown that the global flood is represented by the same sedimentary rocks record trends on every continent that's been evaluated, end of quote. The headline in the July-August 2022 issue of Acts and Facts reads, "Asia data confirms progressive global flood." Excerpts follow. The Institute for Creation Research's Column Project team recently finished a two-year study of Asia. We have now accumulated column data across five of the world's seven continents, with Australia in progress and Antarctica in the future. Our results reinforce earlier findings of a progressive global flood. After examining the rock record across five continents, we can now be more assured than ever that there was a global flood, as described in Genesis, the rocks don't lie, end of quote. Skeptics routinely crow, if Noah is real, where did all the water go? Columbia University researchers report that ocean levels were once 400 feet lower than they are today. Seems like the water didn't go anywhere. If the earth were smooth as a ball, it is calculated that the waters would be nearly 2 miles above it. Geologists estimate 3 to 5 times the amount of water in the oceans resides deep inside the earth in a porous rock called ringwoodite. How about this one? A 25-foot fossilized baleen whale was found in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. If Noah and the global flood are true, and they certainly are, then Marx, Darwin, and all their atheistic throng are in a heap of trouble. They cannot allow a divine foot in the door. They must resist at all costs, regardless of the facts. The following information is from Creation Ministries Magazine, Volume 38, Number 3, published in 2016, under the heading Animal Salad, written by entomologist Linda Bear. A few years ago, I drove out of Cape Town and headed north some 80 miles to Langebaan in the vicinity of Langebaan, Western Cape, South Africa. I visited the fossil park there that contains the bones of over 200 different species of animals buried in the sediments of an ancient flood. Walking down the gravel pathway to the site, I listened with half an ear to the mandatory plug for Long Ages delivered by a guide. He strangely came across as somewhat less than convinced about the 5 million year time frame he was advocating. The reason for his ambivalence was plain to see. My eldest son, Jonathan, uttered the most concise description of the chaos that lay before us. "Dad, it's an animal salad," he enthused. There before us were the bones of giant wild pigs, over 40 specimens of aardvarks, numerous long-necked and short-necked giraffes, and 5 different species of hyena. Also, an extinct form of hippo, a 3-toed horse called Hipparion, 3 species of elephant, bonebok antelopes, as well as the Boslophine, which today is found only in Asia, a saber-toothed cat, a wolverine, an enormous African bear, and a large number of smaller animals such as mice, mole rats, golden moles, frogs, and lizards, including chameleons. Of birds, there are no less than 10,000 identified so far, bones of 90 different species, including marine birds such as cormorants, penguins, and an albatross, shorebirds, songbirds, parrots, woodpeckers, and at least one species of ostrich. Of even more importance included in the jumble of bones are those of seals, whales, and megalodon sharks, creating a mixture of marine, avian, and land mammal bones that were laid down in this single catastrophic event. The evolutionary explanation for the mayhem under and around our feet is that 5 million years ago, a precursor of the present Berg River flooded, and the fossils are remains of animals that were washed into the area. Interestingly, the information material refers to a catastrophic flood as well as the ocean levels being around 98 feet higher than today. This is to account for the marine fossil phosphate deposits. The sheer number of creatures that died raises the question, what kind of river was this? Today, when a river floods, most, if not all, of the mammals quickly move away. What then of the scores of species of flying birds, ranging from quails to albatrosses, that were unable to simply lift their wings and fly away? End quote. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Noah's Ark and Societal Records. The following information is quoted from the November 2007 issue of Discover magazine under the title, "Did a Comet Cause the Great Flood?" This story reviews discoveries made by environmental archaeologist Bruce Massey of Los Alamos National Laboratory. Massey believes that he has uncovered evidence that a gigantic comet crashed into the Indian Ocean several thousand years ago and nearly wiped out all life on the planet. What's more, he thinks that clues about the catastrophe are hiding in plain sight, embedded in the creation stories of cultural groups around the world. Massey's biggest idea is that some 5,000 years ago, a 3-mile-wide ball of rock and ice swung around the sun and smashed into the ocean off the coast of Madagascar. The ensuing cataclysm sent a series of 600-foot-high tsunamis crashing against the world's coastlines and injected plumes of superheated water vapor and aerosol particulates into the atmosphere. Within hours, the infusion of heat and moisture blasted its way into jet streams and spawned super hurricanes that pummeled the other side of the planet. For about a week, material ejected into the atmosphere plunged the world into darkness. All told, up to 80% of the world's population may have perished, making it the single most lethal event in history, end of quote. Massey is getting close, but he's still short of the correct assessment. The great destruction cited by Massey is said to have happened at the end of the Permian period, where it is estimated that 70% of land species and 95% of ocean species were destroyed. They keep tripping over the truth, but refuse to acknowledge the obvious, end of quote. No divine foot allowed. Remember, if God's account of Noah and the global flood are true, Marx, Darwin, and atheism are all dead, and they are. They are simply unaware of it. God's word has entered the room, and darkness must by necessity leap out the window. Settle it in your heart. God's word is true and righteous altogether, every jot and every tittle. The mighty Joshua of old settles the issue in Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God said, Genesis 6:17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. God said, Genesis 7:17-24, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. God said, Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Man said, as one of their own, the evolutionist Richard Lewontin explains, it is not that the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our a priori adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations, no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated. Moreover, that materialism is absolute, so we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. Now you have the record.